Well, one of the wonderful things about being in discipleship is I get lots of interesting questions each and every week, things to contemplate. And it's really wonderful when it's these questions are falling into a theme that I've been kind of wrestling with anyway. And so this week was no difference. And a question was brought to me about Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And the question is, why would we not be willing to sacrifice our bodies? Why would we not be willing to do whatever it is that God is asking us to do? And as I've been just contemplating this question for the last several months, probably years, it comes down to the fact that we don't honor God as God. And I've talked about this a little bit, but a part of the conversation was we went to anger. Why do we get angry about stuff? Well, we get angry about stuff because things don't go the way that we want them to go. And we have an anticipation of the way something's going to work out. It doesn't work out that way. We get frustrated. We get angry. And we begin to think, well, I don't deserve this. Yeah, I deserve better, which charges us down a whole new path. And I think one of the things that drew me into ministry in the first place, I didn't go into ministry per se. I just wanted to share people, you know, the danger that we're in that we don't recognize. But one of the things that really drew me was the thought that, you know, we as American Christians, and this probably isn't just identified just for Americans, but Christianity in general, are very much, we feel like we're entitled, I guess is the way to say it. We feel like entitled. I'm entitled to a good, simple life. I'm entitled to what I want. I'm entitled to be treated well. I'm entitled to all these things because after all, I said the prayer and I'm a Christian. We don't ever stop and think that the question is, do you really want what you're entitled to? And I'm not meaning this as a downer. I'm just saying, you know, this applies to me also. This is saying, you know, I think I deserve this and this and this. Do you really want what you deserve? Because the pictures are going to look much different. And if we look in Scripture, in Romans chapter 5, it says in verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So why do we have peace with God? It's through the sacrifice of Christ, right? It's what he did on the cross, period, end of story. Well, I was saved by faith. No, faith is what got you to understand that. Faith is that which caused you to believe that to be true, but your faith didn't save you. Christ on the cross saved you. And it says we're saved through Christ. And in verse 9, it says, well, let's go to 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were enemies of God. Understand that. We were powerless to do anything about it. Romans chapter 1 is telling us that the pagans, the ones who would live based on this is what I want, I really don't care about God. I'll use his name every once in a while if I need to, if it makes me look good at the, you know, in the neighborhood, if it makes me sound good, makes me sound holy, I'll use his name. But I really don't care about what he's telling me to do. I don't care about doing it. I want to do what I want to do. And in chapter 1, he says, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceitful, malice. They are gossips, they're slanderers, they're haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So, you get set up and you go, wow, that's true. They deserve it. You know, those people deserve death. They really do. And then he goes on and he says, but you know what? Before you get too high and mighty on the hog, recognize that you do the same thing. And you know the right thing to do, you just don't do it. And you know how I know? Because you walk around judging other people who aren't doing it. And you point your finger at them. And you go, you ought to be doing that. You ought not be doing that. And Paul's saying, you know what? You deserve the same thing. And in verse 2 of chapter 2, it says, we know the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. So in chapter 1, he's saying that they know they're deserving of death. Chapter 2, he's saying, and we know the judgment of God falls rightly upon us. And then in chapter 3, he says, what then? Are we better than they? Are we better than all these people? He's talking to the Jews now. Are we better? Not at all. For we've already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. So we're all guilty. What's the problem? In chapter 3, he tells us. It's what we call the doctrine of total depravity. There is nothing in our own that we can do about this. Starting in verse 10 of chapter 3, there is none righteous, not even one. Not me, not you, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. Not even one. Their throat's an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths. The path of the peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Period. End of story. Before we were saved, this was us. And Paul in chapter 7 talks about the fact that some this is still in us. The potential to behave this way is still in us. Verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those under the law so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. No one has a sufficient defense, is what he's saying. None of us. Oh, but Jesus. And the reason I'm saying this, again, is so that we can reflect and we go from a sense of entitlement to, Lord, may I always remember. Remember the stones in the Jordan? Why do you put the stones up there? So you never forget. Why was the book of Deuteronomy written? Because he was preparing them to go into the promised land. Don't ever forget. And so this is my encouragement, is that we never forget what we deserve, but we're always remaining thankful to Christ for what he did on the cross. In verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, blessed are those, and this is David talking, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. David knows what he deserves. Again, we say, I don't deserve X, Y, and Z. No, you're right. We deserve much worse. Amen. We're not getting it because of the grace of God. We're not getting it because of the sacrifice Christ made on the cross. And we go out, and may we go out and share this with people. May we share it with the hope and love that's in our hearts. I was talking with Hina about something this morning. I don't know if y'all remember this, something they're called stereograms. And they're the pictures that are on the wall that just look like dots. And if you sit back and look long enough, you relax your eyes and a 3D picture comes out. Any of you remember those?
Yes.
Well, if I'm looking at a stereogram, I can't cause you to see it, right? But I can look at it, and if I'm seeing it, I'm seeing it. You don't see it until you see it. But once you see it, you can't ever unsee it. And that's the way truth is. We can speak truth to people, but we can't cause them to see it. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. Now the question is, what am I going to do with it? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you do reveal your truths to us. And Lord, you leave it to us what we do with that truth. Lord, you tell us that if we see, may we not tarry in doing it. that may we do it this day. And so, Lord, our prayer is that you reveal truths to us. You reveal the things to us that you would have us do, and Lord, that we would do them immediately. And we thank you for your love, your care for us. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son on the cross. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.